Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, chase your destiny. By PremiumPlus-Sports.com. If you're traveling, get a hold of the folks at Premium Plus Sports. By USA-SwimRun.com. If you have not tried a swim run before, grab a partner and give a swim run a try. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we just sent out 2,806 grants totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, only one of my favorite people of all time. She not only raced from the front and won Ironman World Championship six times, but always with a smile on her face, always representing our sport. The woman we call the Swiss Miss, Natasha Bodman, joins me. Natasha, it's been way too long. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Brilliant in Switzerland.
Yes. How are things in Switzerland? Is it starting to get a little chilly?
No. It starts getting autumn, but we had a great summer.
Yes, we had a great summer here, too. Of course, San Diego, we get that a lot. Were you an athlete growing up, Natasha, as a little girl?
No, I was completely non-athlete. So I kind of was the athlete nobody wanted in the group. Do you remember, I don't know if you have that in America, but here at school, when there is sport in school, the teacher takes two kids and they choose their group.
Right.
So at the end, Natasha was always a leftover kid and the teacher had to say, you go to this group. And everybody said, oh, no, we have this potato with us. So that was about my sporting career.
So you were not that elite athlete growing up. And when did you get into sport? When did you feel like that this was sport something that didn't come back to you until you were a little older?
I only came back into sport when I was over 20. It was that period of time where I wanted to lose weight. I was unsatisfied. I tried all the diets that were on the market, and I realized that nothing really will help. And yeah, that was after 20 that things started to change.
And so did that lead to swimming, biking, and running?
Not from right the beginning. That was, of course, my wish. I met Tony Hassler. Tony is my coach, and that time he did triathlon himself. So
right.
He was doing one of the first triathlons here in Switzerland. And I met him and I said, I'm unsatisfied with my life and I'm overweight. And then the first thing he said to me is, Miss, you should go on and you should start eating. And so that was what I loved him for, because I was doing diet and he told me to eat.
Right.
But of course, he said, there is a but, and I didn't like the but so much. The but was, you have to move. And so I started moving kind of really, really slow and really little distances. If I give you an example.
Yeah.
I kind of was proud on my first run. And my first run was going to the next block and back, which is a little bit over a mile. Can you imagine that I was proud of that?
Yes. That's how you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, but for me now, doing Ironman, looking back at this point, I think, what did I think that time? So it was really incredible that I started with, something over a mile and was completely satisfied and thought I did a lot.
So was it Tony who suggested that, okay, now you're getting a little fitter, how about we put you in a race?
That was, first of all, I had to get a bike because I had no real fast bike. I only had a bike with three gears that I was riding around, so not really, really smart and fast. And so I first had to learn how to ride a race bike. And then, of course, I had to learn to swim before he could sign me in. But that's how I then started. Finally, I signed in for a race and, started one.
Did you do well the first time you raced?
I was pretty nervous and I finished the race. That's all I can say. I finished the race and I was super happy. I did not came first at my first race, of course not. But I was super happy that I finished it and that I managed to swim and get my head underneath the water. So I really was completely beginner.
Oh, that is so cool. And then back then, I don't think people realize how big the Zofingen duathlon was. And that was one of the biggest prize money events out there. And it was a run, bike, run event. So back then, did you get into duathlon first or triathlon?
Oh, I started with that Zofingen race.
Yes.
So that was the duathlon that I did first because it was pretty close to where I am. And the guy who created it or who invented it, it was Urs Lindsay.
Yes.
He saw the Ironman in Hawaii and then he said, I like to bring something to Switzerland. But then he realized that Switzerland is not so easy to do the first swim. And so he founded that race, that Powerman, which is incredible hard. And if you do the long distance, and it was great. It was my first competition, just a run and bike, so without a swim.
Right. And now, did you do well in those early Zofingen races that you raced?
Yeah, I did pretty well, and I was surprised. Actually, my first race, the race was just held last weekend, and for the 30th time. And so I was looking back and thought a bit about my first start there. The first race is a two-loop run.
Right.
So you run for two loops at 5K. And my really, really first event that I did was there at Zofingen. And I remember, well, I was running so fast for that time that I was at my limit after the first lap. And I stopped with Tony and his friends and said, oh, that was hard. I'm done for the day. I don't go further.
After the first lap of the run.
After the first lap of the run, of course, the race would still be long and going on. And everybody freaked out at the side and said, but you're in the lead. Don't run so fast. Keep going. And I couldn't pace myself that time. So that was, looking back last weekend, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I had to smile a lot.
How many times did you end up winning that race?
I'm not so good in calculating
but a bunch.
My victories. Several times the short distance and three times the long one.
Yeah, and what people don't realize now is all the best names came to that event. Paul Nimby Frazier, all the big names, because it was really, really good money. The money was, I think, better than the Ironman at that time. And so,
it really was advanced. Yeah, that's true.
And so you had a chance to compete with some of the best in the world in your backyard.
Yeah, that's really so. I mean, when Paula was here, or Dave, or Mark,
yes.
Scott, everybody was here, and these were big, big names, and I was so close to them, and I was so kind of a nothing, and I admired and looked at them, and I thought, wow, what athletes these are. Probably I don't know, I one day could be a good athlete too, but I never thought that I'm going to have that format one day. And it was in 1996 Karen Smyers came here. She won Kona.
In 1995. The year before, yep.
Yeah, and it actually was thanks Karen Smyers that we raced together.
Yes.
And that day I had a good luck that I was faster than her. And so I got an invitation to Kona.
Right.
I think without that experience, it would never have happened.
And what was fascinating is people go, well, you know, everybody qualifies to get the Kona. Back then, if you were on one of the best athletes on the world stage, like yourself or Luke Van Leerde, you were invited to Kona. It wasn't necessarily, oh, I have to go do Ironman whatever to get the Kona. It's, I'm a Powerman champion. I knocked off Karen Smyers, and I'm one of the best in the world, and I get invited over to Kona. What was that first experience like for you coming over to Kona in 1996?
it was unbelievable. And today, I think if you grew up 10, 20 years later, you actually cannot really imagine how that was, because there was no Google. I just took out Triathlete magazine from the year before and checked the pictures from Kona. I took my paper atlas and was looking where Kona, Hawaii is, and I was searching in travel books how it may look there. So I had no ideas of what's going on and what I will meet.
So you never really saw any video of
no.
of Hawaii before you came over there?
No.
And what was that for that first year that you came over and raced? You end up running side by side with Paula Newby Fraser, who at that point has won 7 Ironman World Championships and is looking for her 8th. And she, the year before, she had collapsed, and here you are, your first time with all the TV cameras and next to the Queen of Kona. What was that experience like?
You know, I can't say I kind of was speechless. I came to the finish line, and I remember very well that situation. Mike Riley was there,
yes,
and asked me a question. And I was so overwhelmed by all this experience I had, I couldn't say a word. That's probably very stupid, but it was kind of, everything was beyond that I could imagine. So it was really, really great.
What's fascinating to me is a lot of people come over there and they get intimidated by the island, the wind, the heat. But right from the beginning, it seemed there was something that clicked between you and that island, that you seem to really love racing there.
Yeah, that's true. It clicked when I got out of the airplane.
Right. You just loved it right away. What was it about the place that you loved so much?
It was of that come arriving at night on an open airplane field and a warm breeze coming by, and it was just kind of a welcome breeze for me. It was that surprisingly easy airport with no roof.
Right.
And immediately seeing the ocean, and also on the other side the big mountain. It was just that impression of nature that I felt very welcome.
Right. And the bike course, for a lot of folks, I mean, is the course goes up and down a lot, but really it's the wind is a big element of that. The wind never seemed to bother you.
I was scared in the winds too, and I learned over all these years that to be scared or to be afraid something also tells me something about myself, and to make myself stronger or become a better person, I tried to get out the benefit of the wind. Of course, it needed a little time, but then I started to look at birds, and I saw how birds can have fun in the wind. And when there were strong winds in Kona, I just imagined being a bird and having fun instead of being scared that I get blown over. I tried to look at it differently and made a kind of a mental game with it.
That's so cool. And so then you get your first win in 1998, and you'd been second when you finished second to Paula in 96, and your first time out. So winning it in 98, how special was that for you to come down Ali'i Drive first? And really, I think you were the first European woman to win there.
Yeah, it was, you're right. And for me, it was, I was so filled with happiness and thankfulness that, again, I said something very crazy when I arrived. I said, I feel so happy. I could hold the whole world in my arms. I wanted to share my happiness with everybody. And this is kind of a feeling I never had that intense before. And I really thought, I smile and I give my smile to everybody. Everybody will be happy now.
Right.
It was just giving away that beauty and this good feelings I had.
So you didn't have that same feeling when you won a race like Zofingen. It was just that really came out, that smile really came out when you raced in Hawaii.
It was. I had big races before, and
right.
also emotions that I had before. But then in Hawaii, it was a league of itself.
So when you look at your wins, 98, 2000, 2001, 2002, probably the one that means the most to me was the one that was sort of stolen from you, that you got back later. And that was 2004 when, you know, Nina Kraft wins by a ton, but it turns out that she's disqualified for EPO. And to me, when that type of thing happens, there's so many other people that are hurt by it, right? She's basically takes away that Ali'i drive experience for Natasha Bodman. I mean, if she's not in that race, you're coming across the finish line and getting the accolades and having the crowd. When you found out that you were going to get the win, I bet it must have been a little bittersweet because yes, I'm getting the win, but I'm not getting that experience.
Yeah, it was more sad than sweet.
Yes.
Because that experience, I lived for the emotions. I didn't live for anything else. It was the emotions you get for the last 400 meters. And being stolen of these, this meant a lot. And it was hard to be able to accept it, that something in the sport I loved happened to me.
Right. And what was fun about that afterwards is we wanted to duplicate that experience. And so that winter, we set up a finish line on the stage at our Endurance Awards in San Diego. You were kind enough to come. Ironman brought the wreath and the trophy. And Mike Riley called you across the line on the stage. And I'm trying to track that video down because I know we have it. But that to me, that was because then we had 500 people in that room who all wanted to make sure that Natasha Bodman got her Ironman experience.
Oh, yes, I still remember that. That was wonderful. That really was a great moment. I got flowers, I got everything. That was really great. And I didn't even have blisters that night. That was also pretty good.
Yes. And you know what to me, the mark of a champion, and it's funny how it sort of bookends. So in 96, your first time there, Paul Newby Frazier had been trying to win the race on the bike every year. And then in 95, you know, she collapsed during the run and Karen Smyers won. So in 96, she decided she wasn't going to go off the front on the bike, that she was going to race. And you were in the lead and she caught you and she ended up winning. Flash ahead to 2005. There's this ITU Olympic silver medalist, McKeely Jones, who she's off the front. And Natasha's known as the person who's the best cyclist in the sport. But to win in 2005, you had to outrun and catch McKeely, right? You had to outrun her, and people would have thought it beforehand. If McKeely has a lead in the run, Natasha's not outrunning her. How special was that for you to win a race, maybe in a way people didn't think you could?
This was one of my most incredible moments, realizing what power my mind game has.
Yes.
As you said, it would not be possible looking in the books.
Right.
McKeely, for me, was an outstanding athlete. And if you would ask me before the race what her strength is, I definitely would. I believed it was her run. Because I knew her a little bit about her curriculum, and I knew she's a great cyclist. She was at the Olympics, of course. She swims fast, but I knew when it comes on the run, she is one of the best in the world. And if you asked me who I am, I had that doubt about myself, and I would say no, I would never be able to outrun McKeely. And then coming in that race, knowing she was on the lead at the bike, and seeing my distance going off for the run, and
right.
Realizing a 10-minute back on McKeely, this was just not impossible.
Yeah.
In the books and in my head, it would not have been possible.
When did you start thinking during that run that, you know what, there's a chance?
I never thought about winning the race. This was this is the greatness about this mind game. I never thought about winning, and the most impression for me is that I didn't spend time to think about or to calculating how much faster I must run the kilometer or the mile to catch her, because I would have done that. It would show me that it should have been 15 seconds on the K, which I would again realize I could never make it. I completely stopped these thoughts and focused on the beauty of the island, and I focused on my words that I had programmed through many years in my mental training that I used to do every day. So these words helped me to stay focused and catch her. I mean, it's incredible still looking back, but it was possible, and I think this is fantastic for me.
So, and then 2006, you have stomach issues, and I remember one of the reports coming back was, Natasha is so small, how can she throw up so much? You during the bike ride, you were like, pedal, pedal, throw up. And most people who had won the race at that point, you know, six times, might have said, yeah, it's not my day, I think I'll pull over. But you hung in there, ran like, you know, like a 3:27 marathon, and still finished 10th on really a horrible, horrible day, the way you were feeling. I'm guessing that meant a lot to you as well, just getting to the finish line on a day when maybe your body said, I should stay at home?
Yeah, that meant a lot. I always felt more satisfied and more comfortable and more relaxed having a race, even though I didn't race as good as I could have or as good as I did before, but finishing the race. For me, finishing the race was always more important than the actually the result that it was. So I was, as you mentioned, I obviously vomited a lot that day. but it was never a questioning of giving it up, because vomiting is not something that's going to injure you for the rest of your life. So that will go over, and probably you're not finishing at the performance you were looking for or hoping of, but anyhow, you can finish it. And so races that I finished always satisfied me more than just saying, oh, it's not my day, I give up.
So then in 2007, you have a crash during the race and multiple surgeries. I remember Tony was trying to keep you from getting back on the bike. You were injured seriously. You try to get back on the bike and realize that this isn't going to happen. How long did it take before, because when I look at, you know, from 2007, really, it was almost till, 2011, where you seemed like you could race as Natasha Badman again. How frustrating was that time between 2007 and 2011, just trying to get back to where you wanted to be?
It had periods where I cried.
Yeah.
It had times where I doubted. And there was the prediction that I would never be racing again. So this was the doctor's prediction. But in my head, I didn't want to have that true. So what I wanted was, I wanted the good feeling back. And at this point, I was very thankful for all these great feelings that I had before in Hawaii, all these wonderful moments of the victories, all these wonderful moments in training on the island. And this is what helped me a lot, being strong over these hard times and believe that I will make it again to be able to race Kona.
So when did you feel, because in 2011, you were 14th in Kona, and then you had won Ironman South Africa 2005, 6, and 7, and then came back to win that race in 2012, right? So you came, and then you had a sixth place in Kona again. So those races were, like you said, just getting to the finish line is important to you. As as a six-time champion, as a legend of the sport, getting, you know, being able to win again in South Africa, being able to get sixth and 14th in Kona again, how special was that for you?
These moments or these victories, they were not first places, but coming back from the injury, for me, they meant the same as a victory. Mm. These were beautiful moments, and they just paid off. I looked at it, it was payday for the hard work I did when I tried to get movements in my shoulders that were hurting a lot, or in my back that was not well. So this was the payday, or it was actually not only a payday, because it was almost a 1.5 year or 2 years where I had really good success, and that was built up again on a more than 5 years of work.
Yeah, and to me, 2012, when you're 45 years old and you win Ironman South Africa and get sixth in Kona, that's one of those that's one of those seasons that would be a great way at that point to go, I'm all the way back. Because I'm dealing with age, I'm dealing with coming back from surgeries, and I raced as well as I could. Do you still have that urge to race? Do you still get out there and race every once in a while?
Yeah, I still race because it's just what I like to do. Of course, as you mentioned, it would have been a perfect time to say in 2012, I stop.
Right. Drop the microphone. I'm done.
I'm done, yeah. But what a sad life.
Right. You know what? I'm the same way. I race every weekend. There's nothing better than going out there, because no one goes to a race who's in a bad mood. Everybody goes there because they enjoy it. They want to see where they are. They want to push their body. They want to be with their friends. There's just
exactly.
It's like a party.
Yeah.
We get to go to parties every weekend. That's what I love.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's sad if you can't. Of course, I have to realize that I will not always stay at my best. But that's the circle of life. Of course, everybody will go through that. But it's a big gift if you get older or if you age and you still can stay vital and enjoy racing.
So I don't know how well you knew Daniela Reef before the two of you did that wonderful piece of video together. But Daniela, obviously, as you just she's won 3 Ironman World Championships. She holds a course record. She just won another Ironman 70.3, also from Switzerland. What were your impressions of Daniela when you got to spend some time with her?
She is a different athlete than I am, but of course it's also a different generation.
Right.
So she has the age of my daughter. So it's quite a different that we look at race and that we used to race and train.
In watching how, when we look at the athletes now who come off of that ITU Olympic circuit, they can all swim, they can all ride, they can all run. You can't really have a weakness anymore. You can't come out of the water 5 minutes back and expect to win races. When you watch the racing now, do you still like watching the race at the front with the top pros?
Yeah, I still like watching them. I did the documentary on Swiss TV last year. So this was interesting, also seeing what's going on here in Switzerland. When I look back, 96, where I won the first time, in the journal it said World Championship Kona, Natasha Badmann, Switzerland, and the rank. That was it. And it was just those little two lines in a big, big, big journal. And today they bring the next day over an hour. And for me, it was a big honor to be there and be able to give some documentary on that race. And I wished it would have been already when I was racing. But of course, then internet was not that fast, or movies and pictures could not be delivered so easy, whatever.
So in terms of the sport of triathlon in Switzerland, has it been because of yourself and Daniela and Caroline Steffen, and there have been so many, you guys have had so much success. How big has the sport gotten in Switzerland?
It's got big, also because of Olympics and then Nicola Spierig. She is also a wonderful athlete that we have here. So
yes.
I think more the Swiss ladies doing great in that sport. Probably there is a virus around here.
Actually, that's always been one of my thoughts is, you know, with Daniela, who, you know, was seventh in the Olympics, I think she was seventh and then something like 14th, I think, the following Olympics. And she has dominated at the Ironman and the Ironman 70.3. I've always wondered if Nicola would make that move and go up to the longer distance. Of course, she can get another gold medal next year or 2020. But do you think that she has that the mentality and the body type to do well at the longer distances if she wanted to?
Oh, as far as I know, she did one long distance, and she said never again.
That is fun. Well, you know who said that was I brought McKeely Jones over in, like, early 90s to watch the Ironman because I was hoping one day she would do it. And she was standing with me by the medical tent as they Mark Allen, who had just won the race, was being carried off on a stretcher. His feet were all bleeding.
Nice.
Yeah, he had IV tubes in, and she just looked at me and goes, "Never, I will never do this race." She obviously changed her mind, but it can be intimidating. You start doing those longer races.
It's great that she changed her mind, but it was not quite nice that you brought her beside the medical tent. You should not judge a race for how the athletes look after the race. You should judge the race of the experience at the start, probably, because that's quite exciting.
Right. So are you done racing at Ironman in terms of Kona?
I did, like South Africa, I once raced also Ironman California, which I liked a lot.
Yes.
And, yeah, I did some others, but I never really had time to focus on races because I didn't want to have my Kona race
right.
influenced. And for myself, I needed a lot of preparation. And Tony said it's quite important not only to prepare but also to regenerate after a race. And so that's why I didn't race too many other Ironmans.
Well, and also, one of my feelings is I think you had a nice long career that obviously would have been even longer at the highest level without the crash. So many with the qualification process now, we see people doing, you know, 2, 3, 4 Ironman events to get to Kona. And I think they're shortening their careers. I think it's very hard, as Tony says, it's hard to recover from these long racing days. Do you see that? It would be a hard era to race now when you have to do so many Ironman races just to get to Kona.
I think for me or for my body or probably for my mind, it wouldn't have been possible. But when I look at Daniela, she is really strong and it seems that it doesn't affect or hurt her. And probably today the athletes are more like her caliber, I don't know.
Yes.
But I definitely think it's with this sort of racing 3, 4, 5 Ironmans a year, I'm not sure if an athlete will survive for 20 years.
That's the same thing. I agree with you. So you'll be back in Kona this year?
Yes, I will.
But not racing.
I will not race.
Not racing.
No, I'm not racing.
Well, that means you have
not
to race. You have to come. You have to bring Tony and come to my Friday night. Thank God I'm not racing party.
All right, Friday night. We think about that.
Natasha, thank you so much for taking so much time to chat. It's always such an honor to get to talk with you, and hopefully we'll do a little interview during my breakfast show in Kona too.
Yes. Will you let me know when that is?
I will. I'll drop you a note, and you tell me what time and day works for you, and it'll be great to see you. And Tony is always one of my favorite people. That guy, every time we get together, I always enjoy spending time with him. So he's always so much fun to talk to.
I let him know. He will be happy to hear that. I let him know as well. Thank you.
Natasha Botman has been our guest again. We are brought to you by Toughman Triathlon Series, VeloFix, Polar, by Premium Plus Sports, by USA-Swimrun.com, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. And, of course, check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.